There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The following is a presentation of the Eastern Michigan Sports Network from Learfield. Straight from the 734, it's the Eastern Insider Podcast, presented by Folding Warehouse, Ipsy, Ann Arbor. Your chance to get in on the action. Now let's send it to the guys on the inside of it all, Greg Steiner and Alex Jewell.
Baseball and a spring game preview on this episode of the Eastern Insider.
It was a good weekend. Well, a good Easter Sunday for Eastern Michigan baseball. And Greg, the race is on. It's time for Eastern Michigan to pick it up if they want to get to the Mid-American Conference Tournament. A good start yesterday with the effort from Luke Russo on the mound. Eric Roof will join us to talk about the big Easter win. He's now 3-3 on Easter, by the way. Luke Russo will also join us. But Greg, before baseball picks back up this weekend for Mid-American Conference play, it's also a big week on the gridiron because it is finally here, the spring game. And I think I'd venture to say, of course, we have to knock on wood, it might be the best weather forecast we've ever had.
Maybe not ever, but pretty close to one of the best. I do remember a spring game years ago that was really, really nice. But
well, you did go to school with Father Time, so I guess you have more of a reference than I
did. They were actually carrying pigs back then instead of footballs. but you look at it, a great time for people to get out. Plenty of activities going around as the game will kick off at 6:30. Gates will begin at 6 o'clock out gates 2 and 3. You see there'll be a big junior day program. There's a parents tailgate going on. The football team will get their rings in mid-afternoon. So lots of things to be there for. But also some nice giveaways for people to get. And on the south end zone, you'll have your own ability to do a fan combine, Alex. Are you going to be rolling through drills?
I will be witnessing drills, maybe not rolling through them. But you mentioned that, Greg. Remember, first and foremost, when the gates open at 6 o'clock, everybody, the first 500 fans that walk through are going to get a baseball cap with the block E. It's a nice white cap. We got to preview them and take a look at those this week. And so those look really nice. There'll be a chance to buy your season tickets if you haven't already done that. And Greg, when you buy season tickets for Eastern Michigan football this year, you get an exact replica of the championship ring that Eastern Michigan players are going to get on Friday. You can get that replica with a season ticket package. And you heard it here. I'm not going to tell you this in public other than here on the Eastern Insider. Actually, buying the season tickets is a cheaper way to get that championship ring than there is an option to make a donation to the program and get it. But buying season tickets is your best option. It's the most affordable thing to do. So you can get a season championship ring with those season ticket packages. So you can do those. They'll have Jeff Chwosky and his group will be out there right inside the gates. They'll be available to see them. And then you mentioned that combine. Yeah, it's the 40-yard dash. They've got a throwing station, all sorts of fun in the south end zone. All of that, everybody, is totally free, kid-friendly. And then not so kid-friendly, the concessions will be open. Beer sales will be out there this year for the first time, Greg. So food trucks will also be out there. So a lot of fun for the family to come out on a warm Friday night in Southeast Michigan and enjoy some football as well.
Our presenting sponsor, of course, the Folding Warehouse will be open and they'll be out there for you to take your turn at Folding. So throw that football at some bowling pins and try to win some prizes down there in that South End Zone Club as well before EMU football. So a full day for you to take in. It probably will not be a traditional spring game as we stand right now on Monday. Of course, things can go, can change still, but it's still an opportunity for you to come out and get your first taste of EMU football this weekend with a bunch of new coaches, some new faces, start learning the players' names right now to get ready for that kickoff under the lights against Howard coming up in September.
Yeah, if nothing else, it's a great chance to be out there with friends and family, get some of the sunshine in, lots of music, lots of giveaways. So a great chance there. But Greg, even before football on Friday, there's a full slate of action for Eastern Michigan Athletics this week. And it starts with a rare home and home against Western Michigan for baseball. They'll play in Kalamazoo tomorrow. They'll play back here at Oestreich Stadium on Wednesday evening, a 6 o'clock game, the first true night game of the season for Eastern. And that'll mark the fourth and fifth matchup this season against Western Michigan. Believe it or not, it's happened before a couple of times. Last time was in 2017. Two of those games were in the MAC tournament. But did you know that in 1999, Eastern Michigan played Western Michigan 5 times, all in the regular season and all at Oestreich Stadium?
Huh, that's interesting. Yeah, you'll get to see them. We'll have the call beginning at 5:45 on Wednesday night. Under the lights, WMU Broncos, your place to get Tuesday's action, a 3:05 first pitch. Lacrosse also will have a first toss at 2 p.m. On Wednesday. That at Cicluna Field. Hopefully you can sneak out for that and make a full day of it. Then plenty of track in this weekend. It begins on Thursday. They'll have teams in California as well. Really is also a conglomeration that will be back here at Adrian at Siena Heights. So 4 different track events that Eastern will be going to. Plus then tennis will be in DeKalb. And then baseball this weekend will be at the launching pad at Stellar Field in Bowling Green. With plenty of home runs there. So they're going to have to keep the ball low. And that will be really one of the things we talk with Coach Roof and Luke Russo about.
It will. It's a big series. If you look at the standings right now for baseball, Greg, Eastern Michigan, well, they're down in the standings. But if you really look, only a game behind a massive group of teams, so about 4 or 5, even 6 teams, if you look at it the right way, that are only about a game ahead of Eastern Michigan. So this weekend, if Eastern Michigan gets back on track, they can take the series against Bowling Green. If maybe even if the baseball gods help us out with a sweep, then Eastern Michigan could be right back creeping into that top four, trying to get in the Mid-American Conference tournament. So lots of baseball on the line this week.
Yeah, you look at it right now. Western Michigan, Toledo, BG, Miami, Eastern, and Akron all have 6 wins in conference play, differing degrees of what their loss record looks like. Central Michigan in that 4 spot is a 7-5 mark. So still a lot of room to climb up. That also didn't be mentioned when we touched on the schedule. Rowing, they're in action in New Jersey. And then women's golf will wrap up their regular season before the MAC Championship. They're in Indianapolis at the Jaguar Invitation. And the Boilermaker Invitation is where Bruce Cunningham and his team is.
Yeah, so lots of action. Continue to follow at EMUEagles.com. Each team has their own page. You can also follow each team's individual social media as well. And Greg, we should mention, in case people are wondering, because this is the first time we've had so many midweeks against normal conference opponents, tomorrow and Wednesday's game against Western Michigan, both of those games, they will not count towards Mid-American Conference standings or records. They're simply just an agreed upon midweek game by the two institutions. They're not scheduled through the league. So they won't count towards MAC games, but it is a rivalry. It is a good chance to see some high-level baseball. On Wednesday night at 6 o'clock, there'll be food trucks out for the fans at Oestreich Stadium. There'll also be hot dog specials going on as well. So make sure to see everybody out there. Greg, anything we missed?
No, I think it's time for plenty of football and baseball this week. Plenty mixed in. Enjoy the conversations. The one with Luke Russo is one we recorded today. Meanwhile, you listen to the Coach Roof interview, and it's a lot of things we discussed post-game yesterday as part of our broadcast on All Access.
Yep. Eric Roof, Luke Russo coming up. Enjoy this week's Eastern Insider podcast, and then we'll see you Friday night at the Factory for the Eastern Michigan football spring game.
You already know Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan gives you access to the largest network of top doctors and hospitals. What you may not know is that with our 24-hour nurse line, online visits, whole health support, urgent care, and more, you can access the care you need whenever and wherever you need it, giving you the confidence in knowing that you're covered anytime, anywhere. We're here for it all, and always will be. Learn more at hereforitall.com.
After dropping its first 2 games of its series against Miami, it was a smile-filled Sunday afternoon for the Eastern Michigan baseball team as they defeated the Red Hawks 8-1 on a beautiful Easter holiday inside Oestreich Stadium. Each week, Greg and I are lucky enough to call games on Eagle All Access, and after wins, head coach Eric Roof is always kind enough to join us upstairs in our broadcast location, which you may know as the Home Run Hut. If you didn't get a chance to hear Roof's comments following yesterday's win, take a listen now at the highlights as he discusses the 8-1 victory and where the team needs to go from here. As a reminder, you can listen or watch nearly all EMU baseball games for free by visiting emueagles.com/watch. And if you ever miss a game, you can watch on demand. Again, visit emueagles.com/watch. Here's Eric Roof following yesterday's win over Miami.
We talk pregame, Easter, a way to celebrate, and your offense celebrated in a great way. A big fourth inning, finding ways to hit with especially two-out position, Eric, today. You look at it, 4 2-out RBIs, and overall, your team excelled advancing runners.
They did a good job, really good job offensively, really proud of them. I think every guy that got in the lineup, every guy that played today contributed, and that's what is important for me. Yesterday wasn't great, right? We all know it. We all saw it, but just really proud of the effort because, again, it takes a lot of grit as a team to just flush it, turn the page, and get going. And like you said, offensively, it was really good. I think in that whatever inning that we scored, one run in the second inning, we get a guy on base. I think it's a double play, two outs, and then there's 1, 2, 3, 4 consecutive quality at-bats leads to a run later in the game. We scored 6, and I think we had 8 straight quality at bats. So again, it wasn't just one guy. It was a team effort. And, Luke Russo did a great job. If he gave up that one hit, first hitter of the game, and he said, all right, that's enough.
Well, let's talk about your starting pitcher, Luke Russo, because he goes 7 complete today, 2 hits allowed, just 1 run, and really was masterful for a stretch there. You mentioned the first batter gets on base with the triple, gives up the run, but then after that retires 17 straight at one point, and he had it all going. We talked in the pregame about the ability for him to throw the breaking ball, mix it in with the fastball. From the vantage point of the dugout, what was so effective today?
He's a bulldog. He's a horse. He's a number one. He's an ace. He's going to be a guy that's going to win a lot of games. He's going to be a guy that's going to pitch for a long time. A guy like Russo, you have to get to him early. If you don't get to him early, it's almost too late. Credit Zap for getting a base hit. Hugo had a nice little effort in center field. I thought maybe he was going to catch it and run it down. And again, he getting into rhythm. Multiple pitches for strikes, attacking. That first inning, he wasn't super sharp, with a walk and a hit by pitch as well with that. But then after that, it was like, all right, enough's enough. He's got his routine, and then he kept throwing strikes.
Some people just have another team's number. Last year, he struck out 11 Red Hawks. This year, he strikes out 9. Why has he been so effective against Miami?
Yeah, you're right. There are times, when you look back in your career or you look back over, some outings, you may say, hey, I just feel really good against those guys. Some of it's probably confidence. Some of it's probably just being a veteran guy who's kind of said, all right, I've been there. I've done that. Usually has confidence at this level, but being able to do it and then repeat it, then you start feeling good. And then once you start feeling good, you can have outings like that and back-to-back outings. Last year was out of the pen. This year is as a starter. Again, he's able to throw breaking balls for strikes. He's able to throw off-speed for strikes. And, he did a really good job for us today.
Well, we're going to let you get out of here and enjoy Easter Sunday with your family. But do you want to ask you real quick while we have you about these Mid-American Conference standings? Today was a big win for your team. You get up to that 5th victory. And if you look in the standings ahead of you, there's a bunch of teams that are kind of bunching that 6 wins after today. Some will have 7. Bowling Green, one of those teams that's going to be at that 6 win mark probably heading into next weekend, a team you're going to have to pass. How soon do you as a coaching staff or you as a team start talking about these standings, start talking about, I know you like talking about things in 1-game stretches, but how soon do you talk about them in 3-game stretches and how important a weekend like next weekend is? You have to get a series win.
No doubt. You're absolutely right about that. I think this was game 15, so that puts us right at the halfway point for the Mid-American Conference. We still have a lot of baseball to go, so we're only halfway done. We got to continue to control our own destiny. We got to continue to take care of the ball. So right now it's just win the next game, play good, one pitch at a time. Right now, it's still a little too early to talk about the end of the season. We still got young team. We still got a team that's still adding and learning how to win. It's just, let's take this thing one pitch at a time, one bat at a time. Every game, every pitch, every inning. I just told them the other day, every game, every pitch, every inning is independent of the last game pitch or inning. So it has no effect on the next one. So you have to be able to be mentally sharp to play this game. And that's what I was so excited about our guys today.
Third career win on Easter, and you get a chance to go to Kalamazoo on Tuesday, right back here on Wednesday. Can't wait to see you and the boys back here on a Wednesday that should be pushing 75.
Yeah, I used to think that Shane Easter was the guy that gave us the luck on Easter Sunday, but now I think, it is called Eastern Michigan, and we got Easter inside the Eastern, so there may be something to that. Maybe we could play more games on Easter.
Rufy, thanks for the time. Enjoy your Easter. Enjoy those brats on the grill tonight.
Yeah, thank you, guys. Thank you for coverage. Happy Easter. Appreciate you guys being here at the ballpark.
There's only one podcast in Washtenaw County that takes you inside the athletic department every single week. The Eastern Insider Podcast, your home for all things Eastern all the time.
But you heard Eric Group's comments following the 8-1 win over Miami yesterday, and a lot of those comments were about his starting pitcher, Luke Russo. Luke joins us now. Luke, thanks for joining us. I know you're nursing that arm back to health because you put together an incredible performance yesterday. Congrats on the win.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Let's start where I think sometimes a lot of people have the question about where do you start as a college pitcher. Take us through when you know it's your day on the bump. What's the routine look like for you? Yesterday, for example, is a 1 o'clock game. And so we know that, you know, when you're a hitter, when you're a position player, you're out there a couple hours before the game, you're taking BP, you're doing infield practice. What's the routine for a starting pitcher? Take us through what your day looked like yesterday.
So for me, the starting pitchers, we get to show up a little late. So we don't have to go to like the whole team stretch and everything like 3 hours before the game. So I show up to the field probably around hour 30 before the game starts. I'll sit in the parking lot, listen to some music. I always make a peanut butter and jelly that I eat right before the game just to have something in my stomach. And yeah, I probably start warming up, stretching around 1 hour before the game. And then probably about 30 minutes before the game, I'll start throwing, playing catch. And then 15 minutes before the game, I'm on the bump and doing my pregame bullpen. And then I probably give about 5 minutes till the game starts just to cool down, sit down, let the legs rest, and just breathe. I think breathing's been a big thing for me, so I've been doing that. So
when you get to that point where you're waking up, it's a starting day, you're in your car listening to the music, you're getting ready to go. You can be honest here with me. You don't have to be if you don't want to be. But as a pitcher, do you know when you wake up on the right side of the bed, do you know when it's going to be a good day? Or is there days where it's a struggle and you know, like, all right, I'm going to have to battle through this mentally?
Yeah, no, I would say it's like that. So there are days where you wake up and it's like you're on the wrong side of the bed. But like there's been a couple of times this year where I just wake up and I just don't feel good. Like I'm either sick or just, I don't know, not in the right mindset. But once that game starts, I feel the same every time. I feel like I just click a switch and just feel great. So,
fifth time this year that you've gone set to 5 innings or more in a contest. Yesterday, you give up the triple to start the game. And then all of a sudden, it's like a light switch flipped on. After Miami gets that run, you retire 17 straight. What was it about the difference after that first batter through really the sixth inning?
So I think a big thing for me is off speed. So I like to throw a lot of it. And as I get later into the game, I get better feel for those pitches. And I can throw those pitches literally whenever I want. So I'll get down 2-0 and I can throw that off speed in there just for a strike. And then I think that helps me get ahead of hitters. And it helps me also come back and get those hitters out. So
yesterday you go 7 strong, you give up those only two hits, you give up the triple to start the game, but then only one hit after that. It's a game that was really interesting because when you look at the scoreboard at the end of the game, your team comes out and gets you a 7-run victory, but the offense didn't really pick it up until that fourth inning when they scored those 6 runs. When it's a pitcher's duel early on, like it was, how do you stay locked in between innings when you're watching your teammates go up there to hit? And in a way, does it keep you in rhythm almost a little bit more when your offense is kind of going down quick like that? So you're just right back out to the bump.
Yeah. So when it's more of a pitcher's duel, it's kind of fun. I like it. But I mean, it would be nice to keep the bats hot and stuff, but the ball's in my hands and, you know, all the pressure's on me and I like that. So when I'm in the dugout, I'm just sitting there. I don't really watch the game, because I'm like sitting on the bench and they're all standing, so I can't really see. All I do is like kind of hear. But no, I just sit there and breathe, drink some water, and then I just concentrate on the next batters I got to verse.
One of the key plays in the game yesterday was in that eighth inning after you departed, and your fellow pitcher, Jagger Jeffries, comes on with the bases loaded and takes a line shot back up the middle, able to knock it down. He was jacked up. How excited was the dugout for him to be in that moment and really that play change what, if it goes the other way and shoots in the center field, it could be a much different game.
Yeah, that was crazy. So I was actually in the bullpen when that happened and I was getting ready to run down there. So it happened and I sprinted down there and everyone was going crazy. I mean, Jagger's in there yelling and everything. I mean, it was scary at first, but the sound of the glove was good. So, but yeah, he was jacked up. It was sweet. Big play.
One thing that Greg and I have talked a little bit about during the broadcasts this year and that we've tried to explain is the new pitch clock that, again, is not league mandated, but that Aaron Hilt mandates with the 8-minute clock trying to get off the field. From your perspective, why don't you walk our listeners through what that is? What's the goal with that pitch clock? And how effective do you think it's been for you in your game this year?
So, yeah, the pitch clock, we have to get under 8 minutes each inning. So he keeps track of those. And it's been really helpful this year because, I mean, every game we've won, we've done probably really good on the pitch clock. So, but yeah, it's like a pace of play thing and time of possession. So if we're under that 8 minutes, that means we're hitting more. Like we're in the dugout more, we're resting more. And, you know, it really helps with the pace of play and everything. And we like to work fast as a pitching staff. So you get the ball and we don't throw it around. You guys can probably see that. So we get the ball right back from the catcher after a strikeout and we're right back on the bump to stay in rhythm.
One of the other big things is getting a rhythm with your catcher. And you had Ryan Lux yesterday catching you. You've had Aaron Dolny back there as well. When your success can also be tied to their success, how much have those guys helped you develop as well?
Yeah, I mean, Lux wasn't our starting catcher coming into the season, and I think he's been working really well. He's looking really good back there. I mean, they're doing great. I mean, they're setting up exactly where they want to set up. They're blocking balls for me. Like, I like to throw a lot of curveballs in the dirt when I got a guy ahead, so I have to have trust in them. So, I mean, they've been doing great. They've been throwing guys out. It's awesome.
We talked a little earlier, just briefly, about the offense and what they were able to do to come through you for you yesterday. The easy question is to ask, you know, what's it like having an offense that obviously there's five guys at the top of the lineup right now, all hitting over 300, and we know what we can do in terms of putting up numbers quickly. But I'm more interested to know, from a pitcher's perspective, if you were pitching against our offense, what makes the Eastern Michigan offense, from that perspective, challenging to pitch against?
We got some big lefties on our team, and big lefties aren't really easy to verse. They're kind of my kryptonite a little bit. So they're hard to pitch against. They love to hit fastballs. So I really got to – helps me work on my off-speed when I throw against them. So I just – if I leave anything middle, it's going to get hit. So, yeah.
I know you like a lot of your teammates, but if there's a guy that is on your team – that you're really glad is wearing the pinstripes with you and that you don't have to see on another team, who's that guy in our lineup that you would love not to have to face every year?
So there's two of them. One's Taylor Hopkins and the other's Matt Kirk, for sure.
When you see Matt's success and what he's been able to do, of course, the reigning MAC player of the year, and now continuing it, getting another former Toledo Rocket and Josh Cross right behind him, what is it like seeing those guys' work ethic at the plate each and every day?
It's awesome. Those guys rake. I mean, they're working every day. And just watching them hit BP is just kind of amazing just because they just hit like line drives opposite way. And that's kind of the BP like we're looking for here, not just hitting bombs and stuff, because that's why they're hitting so good. They see the ball through and they hit it opposite way. So it's great.
Let's talk about the team overall right now and kind of the standings where you guys sit. If you look at the record, a couple games below 500, no doubt you guys will get back over that mark. But if you look at the conference standings, there's a group kind of right ahead of you that's really not that far above. You guys are able still with half your games left to make that push up, try to get into that Mid-American Conference tournament. I know that you guys believe you have the talent to do that. What is going to have to change over the next 15 games that we haven't had in the first 15 of conference play so that success can happen and you can rattle off those wins?
I would say consistency, because we're a team that likes we're like a roller coaster. We go up and down, but once we get hot, we can go. So I think we just need to get hot and we need to be consistent. And once we get a few of those wins in our hands, we'll just keep them going. I feel like we just got to get on a roll.
No, the ultimate goal is to get drafted and to be playing in the majors one of these days. You look at the success Eastern has had. A guy like Justin Mice drafted a few years ago. You see a Shoemaker. You see those guys. What does that mean about playing for Eastern Michigan and being able to be on that bigger stage?
I mean, it's awesome. These coaches have helped me, and my goal is for sure to get drafted. That's definitely my number one of my top goals. So I hope it happens. I'm working, and just to be an Eagle and to get drafted, that'd be awesome. It'd be sweet.
4-1 record on the year. The stuff's been working. You talk about the curveball, especially if anybody's watched, they know how much that bites, and it's certainly entertaining to watch. For you though, is what's kind of the metrics that you use to judge yourself? Is it the win-loss record? Is it ERA? Is it the ability to go deep into games? What are you kind of looking at and saying, all right, if I do this, it's a successful outing for me?
So what I look at a lot is opponent batting average. So I think that's a big thing for me. If I'm not giving them hits, they're probably not getting on base, because I've done a great job not walking guys this year. That's what I look at a lot too, walks and stuff. But if I'm not giving any freebies, they're going to have a tough time scoring. So that's what I look at.
One of those numbers from a year ago you talked about was looking at numbers, 12.9 strikeouts per nine innings. But the one that I liked the best last year, opponents against you with two out had one hit. What does that mean when you can slam the door when there's two out?
I didn't even know that. That's kind of crazy. But no, that's awesome. I think it's trust in my off speed a lot too. I mean, I can throw that literally whenever I want. So that's a crazy stat. I didn't even know that.
Yeah, one hit in 22 situations like that.
Oh, geez. Wow.
Well, Luke, listen, know you're busy. Know you've got to get that arm back and ready to go for a couple of midweek games this week, but then a big series against Bowling Green. Have you done any scouting on the Falcons yet? I know you've played them in years past. What's it going to take against BG if you've looked into them at all to make sure we get those wins this weekend?
We haven't done any scouting. We usually do that like 2 or 3 days before meetings. But no, they're a good team. We just gotta pitch it and we gotta hit it. Just be consistent and we should beat them. So should be a good weekend.
Well, we certainly hope that at the end of when we do the podcast next week, it's a clean sweep perhaps in Eastern Michigan back in the MAC race. Luke, great outing yesterday. Yeah. Congratulations on the win. Congratulations on all your success this year and good luck this weekend at BG.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
This has been another edition of the Eastern Insider Podcast, powered by Learfield. Tune in every Monday for new episodes all year long. And don't forget to visit emueagles.com/podcasts, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and Apple Podcasts for all of our episodes on demand.